When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Our kids have said to us since we moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
Joe Biden came out today and spoke for 10 minutes to the nation about all the balloons that the U.S. shot down.
It was only 10 minutes?
Yeah.
Because I turned on the TV like an hour after he spoke, and they were still doing coverage. And I thought, oh, did he speak for an hour?
No, it was obsessive coverage because they're filling time.
And he's the president. We're woke, and the president gets our attention on anything he has to say.
He didn't seem to know who the three balloons belonged to, the three that were shot after the Chinese balloon made it across the country.
Yeah, last weekend, like Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, they shot down objects in the sky, which we believe, from what we're understanding, were some type of balloons, but they were not Chinese surveillance balloons.
So
what were they?
Yeah, we wondered, when is somebody going to say, hey, I'm missing a balloon? Because somebody launched these, right? They own them.
Yeah, and right.
Most of these balloons have some kind of transmitter, because you send up a balloon, you want to track it, or you want to get information. If it's a weather balloon, you want to get all the temperature and wind readings, whatever you're looking for. Well, we have now information that the Northern Illinois Bottle Cap Balloon Brigade, we're not making this up, is reporting that one of its balloons was missing in action around the same location and at the same time that one of our Air Force jets blew up one of the unidentified objects.
It's a $380,000 Sidewinder missile.
The balloon itself may go for $12. This is a hobby group that launches balloons and then tracks it using ham radio. I don't know exactly how it works, but fortunately, we have Tom Medlin on. He is a ham radio operator. He is host of the Amateur Radio Roundtable podcast, and he's quoted in the news story, so we'll see what his connections are to this this balloon brigade and what he knows about it. Tom, how are you?
Hey, doing fine, man. Thanks for having us.
So what's your connection to the Northern Illinois Bottle Cap Balloon Brigade?
Well, I know several of them up there. We've worked with them, and it's a great group. A few adults and a lot of youth, ages from 12 and up. And they actually built this thing.
Describe what this is.
All right. Well, we've been flying for a number of years what we call Pico balloons. It's a small balloon. It's about 30 diameter, $12 or so. And, you know, a lot of science goes into it as far as measuring to the tenth of a gram, the amount of gas we put in, the weight of the payload, and so forth. The payload itself is about the size of a postage stamp. We build them, and it's got a little Arduino on it. It's got a GPS on it. It's got a little bitty, teeny-weeny transmitter on it. The transmitter actually runs less power than your garage door opener. But ham radio has something called Whisperer. It's a weak signal propagation reporter. And we can actually get data from this little 10 milliwatt transmitter upwards to 8,000 miles away.
And the data is just where the location, or what's the data you're collecting besides the location?
Well, typically what we collect here, and I've got three balloons up right now, and typically every 10 minutes, and you're solar powered only, every 10 minutes in the sun, we'll get a transmission that will plot on a Google map, and it'll show the path, it'll show the altitude, it'll show the speed, it might show the battery voltage, and that's about it, really.
So this
is a hobby to fly. Yeah.
You said this is like a 30-inch balloon?
Like yeah, 32-inch balloon when it's expanded, you know, all the way.
Mm-hmm. And this would show up on a radar? Are you talking about 2.5-foot balloon?
Well, yeah, you know, they've opened the aperture on the radar now, so they can see a bird out there now. But this particular balloon was a silver-coated. You know, you see these party balloons, some of them are silver in color.
Yeah.
This was silver in color, so it probably had much more reflection than, say, the balloons that I'm flying. The balloons I'm flying are clear. My balloon's been up 250 days now.
All right, so this balloon... The last time it sent a signal was the day before the missile shot a balloon down, and it was generally in the same territory there.
Yeah, and on our maps, we have a prediction that NOAA gives us. That we can actually see where this balloon is going to go, and it plots it in little dots, just like a hurricane map, you know, a hurricane track. And it shows us where it's going to go. And probably what happened was it got late at night. It quit transmitting, but it still continues to travel, you know, until the sun comes up the next day. So the reported location where this was shot down matches, I would say, perfectly with the position of the tracker where it should be. And, you know, plus the tracker quit talking after that. We don't hear from it anymore.
Yeah, now there's an article that says you can get this exact balloon for $13.33. Does that sound right?
Yeah, that's about $12.
Yeah, okay.
These are Mylar or latex?
Well, it's not either, actually. We used to fly the Mylar balloons, but they don't fly very well. I don't know what this material is exactly, but it's a much better material, and... We typically fly with hydrogen. That gives us about 2,000 more feet. We can fly at around 50,000, 52,000, I think.
Wow. Now, so it's possible that our Air Force fired a $400,000 mm-hmm. missile at a $12 hobby balloon.
Well, that's probably what happened. Now, the fact is, they just didn't know. They didn't know what it was, but then he shot at it. And you know, the thing that concerns me over Wisconsin, they fired two sidewinders, and they said the first one missed. The first one missed, but they don't know where it went. Now, that's concerning to me.
Well, they said it went in the lake, Lake Huron. That's what they're
did
saying.
Did they? Oh,
yeah,
okay.
They did.
Okay.
One over Michigan. But
cool. I want to go for a swim.
You mentioned that they did what they did. Apparently, was they changed the filter, so that now they're picking up objects like your Pico balloons. But they said that this might interfere with aviation and flights up there. That couldn't be, could it?
No, not really. We fly under, of course, we're licensed, and ham radio has been licensed all these many years to experiment and develop new systems like this. Plus, we're flying under an FAA regulation called FAA 101. We're FAA 101 exempt, and there's a couple criteria that we have to follow. And if we follow that, we don't have to report a flight plan or anything. And the criteria is on FAA 101, you can fly up to 2 6-pound payloads without filing any type of paperwork or request. You have the little string that holds the tracker below. It has to break 50 pounds or less. So, you know, and you don't launch it right at the end of the runway of an airport. So, you know, there's a few restrictions like that. But if you follow those, you can launch these things just about anywhere.
The last known altitude of this balloon is reported to be 37,928 feet. That sound about right?
Yeah. Yeah, probably so. Yeah. That's probably right. Mine are flying around 47,000 right now, so, but it's probably lost a little bit of helium or hydrogen, whatever they put in it. So it's come down a little bit. Right. Also, atmospheric pressure will change the altitude of these balloons.
There were no spy cameras on this balloon, right?
No. Hey, the whole tracker with solar panels and everything weighs 7.8 grams. That's the weight of a nickel. That's how big it is.
Sounds dangerous to me.
7.8
grams. So we can't. It won't lift a camera. It won't even lift a little camera.
Right.
So, yeah.
Can you believe it? I mean, did it occur to you at the time when they announced the Air Force was shooting down these balloons that one of them could belong to this group that you are connected with?
Well, yeah, and of course I've got balloons up too right now. I've got one off the coast of California out there right now that it should hit California in the next 48 hours. So I'm waiting to see if it's going to get shot down. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. I do know this. You know, the government keeps saying they don't know what these were or anything, but I do know that the Wisconsin Club did talk with the FBI 2 days ago. And they did collect the information, so they know the balloons are up there.
Okay.
I just don't know if the information is getting back to the military.
But what happens with the balloons? Do they just keep floating till eventually they just sink and hit ground and you guys just move on? Yeah.
Yeah, most of them will fall in the ocean or maybe the Sahara Desert or somewhere like that.
So you just do it to do it.
It's not good for the sea life.
You do it just for the fun of tracking it and see what happens.
Well, as mentioned, mine has been up now 250 days. Also, NOAA, let me tell you, NOAA also takes our data, and they take our data on our flights to try to help improve their prediction models of storms and hurricanes and things like that. So we're tied in with NOAA as far as working with them to do that. And, you know, there's a lot of experimentation, and we design stuff and we build stuff. You got to make these little parts work at minus 40 degrees Celsius. That's pretty cold up here.
Yeah.
You know, there's not a battery. A battery won't work up there.
Well, they keep talking about looking for the remains, but if a Sidewinder missile hits a 32-inch helium balloon, there aren't going to be any remains, right? It's just going to explode
disintegrate. Well, again, the tracker here is the size of a postage stamp.
Right.
And I doubt they're going to find it. We almost never find one when it goes down. I mean.
Well, all right. Thanks for being our guest. We appreciate talking to you.
Yeah. Really. Thank you for your time.
It was fun.
You're welcome, guys.
Tom Medlin. He's a ham radio operator, amateur radio roundtable.
Pico balloon enthusiast.
Yeah. He's got the amateur radio roundtable podcast, and he is familiar with the group that sent up this balloon, the Northern Illinois Bottle Cap Balloon Brigade.
We interviewed him because it's very possible that one of their balloons is one of the ones shot down by Biden's F-22 off of Alaska last weekend. Strange. All right, more coming up. Oh, another keyword. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio
app. Live another 100 years and not come across a story more absurd than this.
Coming up after 3:30, well, we hope it really means it is a new era. John got rid of the council member for his district in Los Angeles City Government, Mike Bonin, Bonehead. His replacement, Tracy Park, is leading the way, and she did get the council to vote just today. Yesterday, to impose an anti-camping law in certain places in her council district. We'll talk about it after the news at 3:30 from the world of technology. And you just, we have an announcement today that Tesla has launched a recall to repair defects to their full self-driving software. People refer to this as FSD, full self-driving. Apparently, they have to fix a repair code that did cause some of the Teslas to run yellow lights, disobey speed limits, and travel straight ahead from turn-only lanes. That does sound a little bit risky, doesn't it? Although there are people that drive like that. I see them every day, right? Running yellow lights and disobeying speed limits and traveling straight ahead from turn-only lanes. I've seen that all the time.
Those people need to be recalled, too.
There's always a guy that wants to cut the line. It's like a right turn only lane, but he uses it to try to get ahead of everybody and get back into the traffic lanes.
Yeah, I do that.
See, I said there's always somebody. You do that like all the time? Oh, I want to punch guys like you. Why is your time more important than mine?
Because it's my time. I don't care about your time.
It doesn't matter. I got my time.
My time is more important
to me. Wait your turn.
Actually, I screw up a lot.
What do you mean?
Well, I see there's an open lane. I take it, and it doesn't occur to me the reason it's open is it's a right-hand lane only. And
well, then, that one I kind of understand because I've done that too. And but then, there are people that drive the same road every day, and they know what they're doing. They're using the right turn only lane to pass up traffic, and then they squeeze back in.
And I have done that too. I have just committed a blatantly selfish act.
You cover all of the possibilities.
Because my time is worth more than your time to me.
363,000 Tesla cars, the S, the X, the 3, and the Y, will be subject to the recall. Recalled models make up about 12%. That they've sold 3 million Teslas to date.
It's not really a recall. You don't take the Tesla into the Tesla repair shop. They fix it by sending software.
Oh, you're right. Delivered by over-the-air software.
Yeah.
Oh. I guess until you get that, you shouldn't put it in self-drive mode full self-drive mode.
Like, I don't know a whole lot about Teslas. It's probably internet capable. So you would get it through the internet?
Yes. They do come. Oh, periodically it pounces up on the screen. Software update tonight will be installed.
Oh, I see.
You're driving a computer when you drive a Tesla.
Right.
It's a bit overwhelming. I don't have a Tesla, but I know folks that do, and it's a bit overwhelming.
Is it always receiving a signal? Or
Yes, I think it is, yes. Oh,
so you don't have to go and turn it on to get the update. It'll just happen while you're sleeping.
That's correct. Right. It gives you a message on your screen that it's going to happen tonight.
What I read some months
ago. And the next morning, it gives you a summary of what they did with the software update.
The New York Times, because they're always trying to go after Elon Musk, did what they thought was an expose, how Elon Musk sends secret code updates to all the Tesla drivers to do things like self-drive,
right,
without clearing it with the federal government. So the federal government never knows what the latest update is going to bring to a Tesla car. And that's how he's installed these self-driving mechanisms.
Oh, I see.
Or driver assist.
Right.
So he waits to see what happens. It's the old thing about you get forgiveness rather than permission. He never asks permission from the government. They never do any testing. He just sends the new program software to people, and they're supposed to figure it out the next day if they want to.
Oh, there you go. So part of this is just that, as we've talked about this before, the idea that cars are going to be completely self-driving probably isn't with us just yet, to the point where you think you can sit in the back seat and just take a nap.
Did you see the part about all the YouTube videos?
Yeah, people have been circulating videos of Teslas in supposedly full drive mode.
Crossing double yellow lines head-on into oncoming traffic, mistaking railroad tracks for roads, aiming cars into pedestrians.
I didn't know. Apparently somebody took a Super Bowl commercial where the Tesla runs over child dummies.
Yeah, that just ran in certain markets. I didn't see it here in L.A.
Yeah, I wonder what the point of that was. But this is somebody.
Some guy
spent. Oh, it's called the Dawn Project. They're the ones that sponsored the ad. I just pulled it up on the screen here to see what it looked like.
Yeah, whoever it was spent $600,000 and ran it in certain regions around the country.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. Tesla. Yeah. Oh, you should see this. It's pretty funny. Did you click the link? Oh, you don't have the actual story. Yeah.
Well, I've got the LA. Oh, here. Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Tesla, they ignore do not enter signs. They drive on the wrong side of the road. This is Tesla's full self-driving mode. And they have these child dummies in the road. Like one just jumps out in front of the car, just runs it right over.
They show the little child dummies getting run over.
No, they do. Yeah.
Oh, that's so sad.
This one actually had a soccer ball in his hands. Yeah. A little kid in a hoodie. Yeah. He just got mowed over.
Yeah, I'm watching it now. Oh, look at that.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like. I guess they're trying to make a point about that. I don't know what the Dawn Project is. Let me just see what this is. I've never heard of them. Have you?
No.
They're the ones that bought the shade, but you're right. Sure. Probably only ran.
Oh, here's another little child dummy. Uh-oh, he's skateboarding right across it. Oh, his head came off. Oh, that child's head came off.
The Dawn methodology secures our nuclear forces, military aircraft and missiles, top secret encryption devices, communication equipment. That can't be
them. That's tough to watch during the Super Bowl if you have a child in the room.
Oh, here it is. The Dawn Project on Twitter Making computers safer for humanity. The first danger we're tackling is Elon Musk's reckless deployment of unsafe cars. Oh, there it is. That's who's behind this.
Yeah, but a little kid isn't going to realize that's a dummy.
If he sees a commercial?
The skateboarder's head went flying off. Detached. This little white head was rolling down the road.
Oh, I thought that was a soccer ball. That was his head?
That was his head.
All right. More coming up, including a big move of the LA City Council on the West Side to clean up the homeless encampments. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere in the iHeartRadio app. You can reach the Moist Line using the iHeartRadio app. The microphone icon there is a way to connect directly with the Moist Line to leave a message for tomorrow's play at 320 and 350. We'll have the Moist Line callers here to tell you what they want to chime in about this week. You can also call the toll-free number 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886. Well, we continue to follow the saga of the homeless in the city of Los Angeles. And of course, John's own Council District 11, had a big sea change in the last election when boneheaded Mike Bonin decided not to run again. And the man that he tapped to replace him, Erin Darling, lost to a woman by the name of Tracy Park, an attorney who's appeared on our show on numerous occasions to talk about how this is a key issue for her, and she understands that people want action when it comes to doing something about homeless encampments on the West Side in Venice.
She's a sane person. She's a normal person, and she has the same reaction to the homelessness that we all do.
All right. So they apparently have this ordinance, 41.18. We talked about this when they voted on this a year or two back. Basically, what you can do as a council member, you come to the whole council and you say, all right, I got these areas where I want to do some homeless encampment cleanups. Yeah, I know. I have to have a place for them to go. All right, I've lined it all up. Let's vote on it so I can begin to clean out these encampments in my district. So what happened this week is they voted to let her go ahead to enforce the anti-camping law. Particularly, this is banning sitting, sleeping, or storing property within 500 feet of schools, daycare centers, parks, recreation centers.
Boy, that's really radical, isn't it?
I know.
You can't have a homeless encampment within 500 feet of a school. Oh, the inhumanity.
She says, we have arranged for the beds for those who will be impacted by the law, and the council did vote to let her go ahead. Of course, now that Bonin's gone, it's the usual suspects that vote no. And I shouldn't say usual, because several of these council members are new.
These are
Hugo
new suspects.
Soto Martinez.
Yep.
Nithya Raman, Marquise Harris Dawson, and daughter of Yaroslavsky voted no. Katie Yaroslavsky.
Yeah. Well, you knew she was bad news just with that last name, because her father was an idiot. Nithya Raman is a socialist. Hugo Soto Martinez is a socialist. I don't remember if Marquise Harris Dawson is a member of that group, but he votes like
He's not that I know of, but he votes like it.
Yeah.
The one that didn't, I think, is a bit of a socialist, Eunice Hernandez. She apparently didn't. Well, it was 9-4. I'm not sure if she voted yes or didn't vote at all.
It looks like two didn't vote. Yeah.
Yeah, it's possible. What's interesting is this story from City News Service, which was printed in the Los Angeles Daily News, has a great headline: LA Leaders End Mike Bonin's Embrace of Encampments on the West Side. It's a nice headline.
That's a great way to frame it, because that's what it was. He refused to enforce that ordinance on the West Side. That's why he was forced out of office.
Yeah.
Because he did so much damage to the quality of life on the West Side. And finally, as left-wing as the West Side is, they nearly had him recalled, forced him basically to quit. And then Rick Caruso carried all these districts. That's how pissed off and fed up people on the West Side were. You know what? So that's three big wins, because she cleared the homeless out of the public spaces near the bridge housing in Venice, and she cleared the homeless out of
the Culver Boulevard in Del Rey.
Yeah. Right, on the median there. She's going after the Bologna wetlands. In fact, she says she's going to apply this. Well, she's going to seek to expand the ordinance to apply it to high-risk fire areas, canyons and hillsides, and environmentally sensitive habitat areas such as the Bologna wetlands.
Oh, so every time I drive by there, I can't believe what's there.
Heartbreaking.
And you know what? I didn't even get out of the car to look because that would be too depressing. I would suffer eco grief. If I had to, I would be like that woman, Astra Lincoln, because it really would keep me up at night if I saw what those people were dumping in the wetlands there.
No, that's true, actually.
Yeah, you and I, now we have a little understanding of eco grief.
Yes, right. I can now empathize. I was having bouts of eco grief seeing what was happening with the Bologna wetlands.
Yeah, there's all sorts of birds in there and all sorts of pretty wildlife, and it's right. being soiled and, by their dirty diapers and their drugs and needles. And
it's so disgusting. It is so wrong. And this is where we found out the environment comes second to drug addicts and mental patients. It looks like all these progressives have a hierarchy, too.
Like we found out yesterday, apparently the trees come ahead of poor disabled people who can't get through the sidewalks of L.A.
Okay, so we've got the homeless people are above the environment.
Yes.
And the environment.
But the disabled people are not above the environment.
No, the environment's above the disabled. So the disabled is like at the bottom of the list with these progressives.
I thought normally that's supposed to be most sympathetic for people who have disabilities.
But on top of all of it, it's people who defecate in the street.
Yes.
They're the anointed.
They also voted on ending or rather cleaning up encampments in the North Hollywood area. That's Council President Paul Krikorian. He claims that there is capacity to accommodate anyone who might be impacted when the encampments are closed down in those areas. So they voted on 2, and apparently they voted 9-4. Oh, by the way, this Katie Yaroslavsky, Zev's daughter, you know what she's saying? I just need more information. I want more studies done.
Katie, get in your car and drive around.
She actually used the expression a coordinated engagement strategy.
Oh,
that's
Jesus.
What we need.
Oh, see, it's genetic.
Yeah, I know. It was often just a...
You get this
blathering idiot.
She's going to be a lost cause.
Probably so.
If you can't,
I didn't know anything about her until she won.
If it isn't obvious what you want to do, then you're hopeless.
Right. But don't expect this to happen tomorrow because, you know, they go out there with engagement teams and they talk to people and they tell them that.
Well,
but eventually.
What's the key phrase here, though, that she, Tracy said, we will not do enforcement until every individual living on the street has the opportunity to come inside. But that implies is like once we have a bed for you and we ask, and you refuse, eventually enforcement's coming.
There's a listener, you know, the one on Culver Boulevard in the Delray neighborhood where we were told, I guess Tracy Park told us, there's one guy left. Woman sent the photo. She says she lives nearby. His name is Howard, and he's the one guy left on Culver Boulevard. Here's where he lives. It is quite a tent he set up. It almost looks like a circus tent with bicycles out in front. So that's what Tracy Park said, that we're not going to use enforcement until we've talked to everybody. I don't know whether this guy's still there, but he was as of 2 days ago.
Howard, it's not going to last forever.
Howard.
We're coming to get you, Howard.
Howard won't leave. All right, more coming up. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app. Yeah, we love to hear from you. That's the Moist Line. It's coming tomorrow, so your last heads up to get your calls in for this week, 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886. Well, we end with a couple of weirdos. If you know, this is a radio show, so it's pretty tough to. But you can go, apparently, to our Instagram account and take a look at this mugshot. We love mugshots from time to time.
I'm going to do that here.
I scrolled down when I saw the lead in this story. I said, what is this person going to look like? Arkansas intersexual woman arrested for making bomb threat against college town. Lily Mestemacher, who is intersexual and identifies as a woman. Now, when you look at the mugshot, prepare yourself for this. I think this is a person on drugs because apparently he's got the face. His face has got all sorts of acne problems and some type of rash or something on it. But his hair is wild, and then there's a big beard and a mustache. But apparently they identify as Lily.
Intersex is when you have male and female genitals, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
It's hard to keep track.
I'll have to look that up because I never remember the
rules.
I don't remember the A general term for a variety of situations, a person is born with reproductive or sexual anatomy that doesn't fit the boxes of female or male. Sometimes doctors do surgery on intersex babies and children to make their bodies fit binary ideas of male or female.
Fit binary ideas?
Yes, binary. That's right. That's that narrow world you live in, John. It's either got to be this or that.
It makes it sound oppressive. Wow. To fit binary ideas.
So I guess Lily had a bad day, but Lily's smiling in the picture, looking kind of happy, looking really wild on drugs.
Where was that?
If you have a chance to see that, it's quite a mugshot.
Yeah, yes? that's right. Where is that definition from? Because I know all the dictionaries have gone ultra woke on this stuff.
Oh, well, let's see. Well, it came out of Google, so I don't know.
Google.
It's Planned Parenthood.
Oh, well, there you go. That's woke land.
Individuals born with any several sex characteristics, including chromosome patterns, gonads, or genitals, that according to the Office of United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights, do not fit typical binary notions of male and female bodies.
All right.
But if you have a chance to see it, that's pretty wild. The other wild story comes to us from Ireland. This doesn't happen often. People are killed by animals probably every day, but it would likely be something like a mountain lion or a chicken. Killed the guy in Ireland. He was mauled by a vicious chicken. How does that happen? Chickens are not that big. Is this a really large chicken? Jasper Krause was killed by a Brahma chicken. According to a recent inquest, he was actually killed last year, but they have put out the official word. He was found dead lying in a pool of blood. And I guess they had to do an investigation. His daughter said that he was asleep when she dropped by that day. She didn't want to wake him because he was in ill health and upset that his dog had died. Alerted about the bloodbath later, she rushed back to his home where she saw a paramedic performing CPR as he was lying in a pool of blood. A trail led to the chicken house.
She saw
one of the birds with blood on its claws, suspected it was the same one that had been sent to live on the farm after earlier it attacked the granddaughter of the man.
He lost several liters of blood. The bird drove its spur into his leg, which caused a heart attack. I guess the rooster hit an artery in his leg.
Oh, okay.
And he was bleeding. He was found in a pool of blood, and this is according to the Daily Mail story. He was able to whisper the word rooster as he drifted in and out of consciousness.
Oh.
He was able to identify his attacker. Rooster.
He said that before he died?
He said, according to the Daily Mail, yes. He was able to whisper rooster as he drifted out of consciousness.
So this wasn't like a rooster that's in a cockfight or something.
I don't know. That's a nasty animal, though.
I guess circumstances could be that a series of events occurs when even a small animal attacks you, that it could take your life. It could just get
now,
that wild.
What is its spur?
Is that the claw? Or
it drove its spur into the leg.
Oh.
I mean, unless it was equipped for a cockfight.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh. Don't keep roosters in the house. Conway.
Hey now. What is this collection over here? Is that urine? Is that you going through urine tests?
I don't know. I it looks like somebody brought in jars of organs, maybe?
Yeah, looks like
it. There's these glass jars and... Ooh. Like pickling jars.
Yeah, it looks like rotten food.
Yeah.
All right, Alex Stone's coming on talking about spring break travel. It's more expensive than ever before. That sucks. Tony McEwen, remember he was on Fox for many, many years. He retired, and he's going to call in. See, you're both excited about that.
Then
Dean Sharp is coming on.
Oh, that's even better.
Yes. So, there you go.
But by the way, what happened to Channel 4? They let all those people go, Chuck Henry and all those reporters. Wow.
Yeah, Fred Rogan.
That was a real cleaning out, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Big buyouts.
You know what I think it is?
Yeah.
Money?
I think it's people are getting their news elsewhere. I hate to say it. Because, like, for instance, I'm not going to say which station I was watching, but I was watching a couple weeks ago on a Saturday night, and the Monterey Park shooting happened at 10:15. It was not on the 11 o'clock news. And I watched a variety show for an hour and a half called Something Night Live. And it wasn't on that either. So I went to bed, and many people went to bed not knowing about that shooting until Sunday morning. So bad. So Twitter and KFI, like news radio, I think are starting to dominate because of how quickly we can get news out there.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't break in with news bulletins because they don't think anyone's looking to television for.
There's nobody there.
For breaking news. No,
it's too bad because I love local TV news.
I understand.
I know you do. You're always talking about
the audiences have shrunk a lot.
You used to have Paul Moyer on your show, didn't you?
Yes, Paul Majors. Yeah,
Paul Moyer was on your show.
Paul Moyer came on once. But we had David Goldstein
on.
A lot
of people who only came on once.
That's right. Yeah. That's exactly right.
Was there a reason for that?
Yeah.
One bad 5 minutes.
We've had Colleen Williams on, Colleen Sullivan, David Ono. Who
yeah,
else
you
we
really have
all
had
these
quite
guys.
A lineup of news guys.
Yeah, they're all pretty cool. They're all like local celebrities.
All right. And another one tonight.
That's right.
Ding dong.
But this guy, Ewing, Tony Ewing was on for many years.
Oh,
35, 40 years.
Yeah, I saw that. Right.
And,
a long time.
And they said when they said goodbye to him, they were on for like an hour and a half. Every time they went back to the news, it was about Tony McEwen.
He was saying goodbye again?
That means that they really loved him.
See, I'd get sick of that after about 5 minutes. It's like, just say it once. I want to go home.
Yeah, it's good enough.
I don't want to stand here for an hour on TV.
And it's 55 degrees out, and I'm wearing a puffer jacket because I'm freezing.
Yeah, you look
big dog.
All right. Conway next.
Yeah.
Let's go.
We go.
Got the news. KFI, KOST, HD2, Los Angeles, Orange County Live, everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Our kids have said to us since we moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the Star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait!
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.